Sotah Torah. This week is Parsha Shpora. Let's just run through the psukim quickly so we get a feel. So Yechezkel, it's every Yechezkel, and he has in Tavua that the Bereshit tells Yechezkel ben Adam, which is referring to Yechezkel. That's a name which is he's used throughout the Sefer. Basically, Yeshua Adam Asam, Vaitama, Oysa, Bedarkam, Velilu Asam, Kedumasta Nida, Oysa Darkam Lafanai. So the Klai, so while they were in Eretz Yisrael, they were Matam Eretz Yisrael, similar to Tumas Nida. So the Bereshit says, I responded strongly for the Shechus Dama that they were over, and the Gidulim, which is the Berezora Timua, and the Chazal said there was Tumas Nida, which is so there's Gidul Raya, Shechus Dama, and Berezora. So they had all three of those averus. The Bereshit says, I then spread them out amongst the nations. So the Klai Yisrael came into these nations. These are the Am Hashem, so why aren't they in Eretz Yisrael? Well, because they didn't listen to Hashem. So there's a public desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name that Klai Yisrael did not listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. So there's a Chil Hashem. So Rishon says, V'achmol Hashem k'chi asher shkilu b'es Yisrael b'gim asher b'o shama. Rishon says, I have mercy on my name, which has been tarnished, which has been mechulal, it's been desecrated amongst the goyim. L'chein emor l'b'es Yisrael k'amar Hashem. Hashem Elokim, lo lemanchem ani oisei beis Yisrael kim Hashem kodshi asher chilata magrim asher bosim sham. I'm not going to redeem you for your sake. You don't deserve it, but I am going to do it because of my Hashem kodshi, in order to take away this tarnishing of Kadosh Baruch Hu's name that his nation is sitting amongst the goyim. I'm going to bring you back, even though you do not necessarily deserve it. I'm going to be do a kiddush Hashem on that name which you have been mechulo, which is mechulo. So when I bring you back, it'll be tremendous kiddush Hashem, and that will repair the chilul Hashem that you have accomplished. I'll bring you back. And the pasuk says, "The Bereshit I will matar you, will take away your tuma of all of your averus." You'll have a new ruach hadasha. You'll have a new heart and a new spirit. Will take away your stone, your heart of stone, that your callous attitude to the other. And you'll start keeping the mitzvahs. Yisrael and Boris, Yisrael and Sati, Levesem, Yisrael, Le'om, you'll be my nation, I'll be your God. Yisrael is going to be called to Mosechem, Krasi, Aladog, and Marbesi, Yisrael, Le'tein, Arach, and Horach. And I will bring, the land will become, besides, you'll have this new Hiskachos of Kedusha, Tahara, of serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the land will respond in the physical sense. It'll be a land of plenty, etc. Okay. Skip section 4. Go to section 5. Kamar Hashem Elokim, B'yom Tari Yeschem, Mikol Tu Benesechem, B'shavti Yisar Harim, B'nivnu Hechor Avois. So there's going to come a day which I'm going to matar you, bring you back into the land. The land will, the all of the desolate places will be rebuilt. Or as Hashem Teoved, the land which had been desolate will be now, you'll work the land. Tashir ha Yisrael Shmama leinei kol over. V'amru ha'oretz helizu and Hashem ha Yisrael gan Eden. That land which till now was desolate will be like an Eden. Okay. I'm going to rebuild the land. Now let's go back to section 4. So you read section 3. Section 3 and 5 go the flow is perfect. 4 is like stuck in the middle. Rashi says, I'm going to give you this Ruach Chadasha. I'm going to rebuild the land. It's going to be wonderful. And by the way, you should know it's not here because of you. I want you to remember that which you've done, all the horrible things that you've done. I want you to be, it should eat you up. It should mamash inside. You should know, you should be embarrassed of what you've done. I'm not doing this for you. So right stack in the middle of this nevuah, that's going to be wonderful. The Russian's going to take us back. And, and you should know, by the way, don't forget, I already told you once before, it's not you. You don't deserve this. I'm stressing it again, you know, like snack in the middle. So it's like interesting, the presentation. Okay, then the last two psukim. Kamar Hashem, Lakim, Oizos, the base Israel. Okay, the last Islam. One more thing I'm going to do for Klai Yisrael. I'm going to increase them like Tzernodom. They're going to be like a flock of sheep. Okay, so that's the psukim. So let's just get the feel of the psukim again. The points over here in the psukim. So the Rosh Hashanah says that the Kleist, when they said in Eretz Yisrael, they were Matam Eretz Yisrael. And the Rosh Hashanah took them out of Eretz Yisrael and sent them away. They came into amongst the nations, and there was a turn of Chil Hashem when the Goyim knew Kleist was Am Hashem, and there's this public desecration of Kodesh Baruch Hu's name by seeing that Kleist had fallen so low not to follow the ways of Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Rosh Hashanah had to send them out of the land. So You're spitting in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's face, not just between the two of you, publicly. All the goyim get to see it now. What happened? How much you ignored Kodesh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs? So there's a tremendous chil Hashem that Hashem's nation is sitting amongst the goyim. I'm going to take you back, but not because you deserve it. And then it goes through this tremendous nevuah of the Torah, which is going to take place. That the Russian is going to change our whole attitude, our whole ruach, the spirit, everything's going to be wonderful. The land's going to respond to it. It's going to be, everything's going to be welding. And the Russian stresses, by the way, I'm stressing, it's not, you don't deserve this. And then it says, the Russian is going to make Kaiser like Tzernod. Mm-hmm. Those are the points of the Haftarah, of the Nevuah. So, these are my wife's notes. For a share that she gave. She's actually giving it again in the Ratara for the ladies of the Shabbos. So if you look at the points which I think are significant, which, you know, she's putting out are significant, we discuss this together, so I have a little bit of So she pointed out that, you know, there's a very clear flow between the concept of the Tumah and the Chil Hashem. We seem to tie together Tuma and Chil Hashem together. Mm-hmm. And there's other places where that concept of that Chil Hashem and Tuma seem to be connected. And try to understand that a little bit. In this week's parsha, Rav Hirsch talked about this. You have this, the psukim flow from the Tuma, which is the Tuma of Averis, and the Tuma, which is the Tuma of interfacing with things which are dead, Tuma. It goes back and forth very, very easily. He calls it, it's Tumas Hagviyos, the Tumas of the bodies, which, you know, which is due to corpses, etc. And then there's the Tumas of Avoinus, of Averis. The psukim go back and forth between the two very, 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 very easily. So it's a little bit also trying to understand this connection between the two types of Tuma. What's the connection between these two types of Tuma? Why is there this stress of the mancha? The person says, "I'm going to redeem Klal Yisrael," but simply it's not lamancha. So, my wife, when she first time she asked me this question, like, you know, since it's somewhat depressing, like hearing this, you know, the Navi is stressing multiple times that, you know, you were so bad, you're so horrible, you still don't deserve this. You know, I'm going to do it for you, but you should know you don't deserve this. It's like, you know, imagine a parent telling to the child, you know, like, you know, listen, I'm getting you the present because I'm a nice guy, and I'm going to get it to you anyway, but you should know you don't deserve this, and you're really horrible, and you're really bad, and you really don't deserve this. You don't deserve this, but I'm going to do it for you because I'm a nice guy, you know, right? And nobody should say I'm a bad father or something, you know, like, what's the point? So the first time my wife asked me this, I said, you know, if you want to put a positive approach to it, there's an element of when a parent says to a child, I'm going to do it even though you don't deserve it. I'm not saying that's good chinuch. It's not good chinuch. Right? That's not how you talk to children. Right? But there is a statement over there which is very significant. It's called unconditional love. I'm not giving you something because I love, because since you're such a good kid, you deserve it, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you whether you deserve it or not, because I care about you. Right? So there is an element of unconditional care. The Russian is giving us care which is unconditional. We have psukim, multiple psukim of the Torah. You know, when you do good, you get good. You do bad, you get punishment. You know, so here we have a situation of Klai Yisrael has done bad, they deserve punishment. The Russian is still giving us, you know, he's not punishing us, he's going to give us schar, you know, or not schar, but toiv. So the Ramchal talks about that a little bit. He talks about it a lot of it, but this is in the Kuri, that the Russian has two unhagas how he runs the Bria. The Baruch Hashem is a meitiv. He wants to give goodness. And theoretically, the greatest goodness is the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's so pleasurable when it's done right, that that's the greatest goodness which can exist. But the Baruch Hashem, theoretically, he could have made us and just poured it on us. But the Baruch Hashem created a world where we don't enjoy that. We enjoy something more when we make it ourselves. The more it says a fascinating ratio, the more it says that a person writes the makav shalom, teaches makav shalom. I prefer to have one of my own than to have ten from nine from somebody else. So the pleasure of something which I built myself is 10 times more pleasurable than something which I have 10 times more of the amount, but I didn't do it. I'd rather have my own more than that. Shem Barashim made a Bria where we get the reward based on our actions, which means there has to be punishment also. I mentioned this one time, this points this out, that Skar and Arnish is not the purpose of the world. Or Arnish is for sure not the purpose of the world. Midas Adin is not the purpose of the world. The purpose of the world is Midas HaChesed. Midas Adin is a way to enhance the Chesed. When you get it because you deserve it, you enjoy it that much more. So Midas Adin is not a primary purpose. Midas HaChesed is a primary purpose. Midas Adin is a vehicle to enhance the Chesed. That's so the Baruch Hashem has come along, but the Baruch Hashem, on the other hand, there's another pasuk which says the Baruch Hashem says that everything that I created in the world, I created the Chodei Barasi Vitzat Tavasisa. The Baruch Hashem created the world for His covenant. So you have to understand, like, well, it's about us. Or it's about Baruch Hashem's covenant. But the point of the Baruch Hashem's covenant, the Ramchal says, it means that the Baruch Hashem is going to bring the world to a time where the whole world will recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's called what he calls Hanhagas Hagichud. So there's a Hanhaga called, which he calls Hanhagas Hamishpat, or Skar V'Einish, means the Baruch Hashem runs the world based on our actions. If we deserve, we get. If we don't deserve, we don't get. There's another Hanhaga called Hanhagas Hayichud. The Baruch Hashem runs the world. Everything in the world is leading to the point where there's going to be this revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness. And that's the purpose of the Bria. We should get to that point. So sometimes Hanhagas Hayichud requires that even though we don't deserve it, we're going to get. He says the vast majority of times the Baruch Hashem is able to combine the two. So it's almost like the master chess player has this overall goal that he's trying to accomplish, and then there's each play, there's a response to the actions which have been done. So it seems to be that, you know, well, if it's going to be a response, I'm not going to get to the goal that I want to get to. But if I'm the master chess player, I can each time have you do X, I'll do Y, and I'll respond to your action, but at the same time, I'm getting to where I want to get to. So Bereshit was able to combine the Hagas HaYichud and the Hagas HaMishpat together. But there'll come a time, because I'll say, even if Christ doesn't deserve, the Bereshit is going to bring Mashiach, which means that the Bria has to come to a certain point. And so that's what it's saying over here, that the Bereshit is saying, even if you don't deserve it, but the reason why the Bereshit wants to do that is because he cares about us. He wants to give us that he's galus. So hopefully we'll get it because we've created a situation where we're able to deserve it. The Bereshit says, even if you're not, I'm still going to give it to you. So there's an element of unconditional care which is being expressed over here. So it's not all bad. That's the point that I said the first time she asked me about this. You know, is there another way to look at this? I think that that's true. But let's see if we can maybe see a little more on it. Okay. So the first point over here in the notes. I'm not going to do all of them. Just a few of them. So the pasuk says the Bereshit compared Klal Yisrael's tumah to tumas anida. So why specifically to tumas of anida? So the Bereshit tumas in Mitzora. So the Bereshit medam tumas Yisrael tumas anida. So just like a tumah shenitma of a niteris, it goes through the process of tara. The Bereshit is giving me tairas. Dover acher second shot. Because we know how Yisrael be darkam lefanai. Kedumas anida lo kedumas hames. Shames bebayis ain koyin gadol nichtus l'sham shumatame. Aval anida koyin gadol nichtus imo bebayis v'yoshev ala itzba b'vach shel teheya itzba misnodedo. So they can sit together even on the same bench as long as the bench doesn't move. Tumas hames, you can't go into the true kodesh can't go in. The koyin gadol can't go in. Kachilu kadosh baruch hu him shel yisrael b'tumas hames. The Bereshit would have compared us to Tumas Hameis. Ata Omer and Shkinah Chazeres Aleim Loelam means the Bereshit can't be with us. El Kanida Moshlon Shakoyan Oymed Ima Babayis Vein Choshes. We can stay together. Kach Kadosh Baruch Hu Shar Shkinasa Im Yisrael Af Bishem Tameim. Shenemar Shakenin Tom Besoyk Tumo Yisrael. Parshas Achrim Mois. So, fine. So that's the mushal of why we use Tumas Nida. So tell at the bottom, there's a piece over here from the Rinas Yitzchak. That's Rabbi Yitzchak Sorotskin, Shlita. So the element of the Russians with us. And then the Medrash Rabbah says, wherever Klal Yisrael went, the Russian Shkina went with us, went with Klal Yisrael. Rakhti and Shkina Shart Begoli Bekirim Kemosha Hoysa Ella. It's not as obvious. There is a distance which is created through Tumas Nida between the husband and the wife. So the Kachalina may say that Wagolus Yesh Rochik Ben Klaisil of Yimashashamai. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a certain closeness which the Russian promises. Where in Golus, that represents the distance. So the Russian is with us, so they're still in the same house, still sitting on the same bench. But you're not next to each other. You're moving to the two ends of the bench. So that's the marshal. The Bereshit was trying to find this balance, etc. I once told you the joke about the. Okay. So
help you out,
right? So the fellow walks into the president's Oval Office and he sees three phones: a red phone, a white phone, and a blue phone. Ever tell you the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Fellow walks into the president's office. He sees three phones: a red phone, white phone, blue phone. Red, white, and blue. Okay. So he asks him, "What are the three phones?" He says, "Well, the red phone is a hotline to Moscow, right? The white phone is for all other calls, and the blue phone is the line to heaven." Okay. Can I use the blue phone? He says, "Yeah, sure." He uses the blue phone. Afterwards, he gives him a bill. He says, "You know, $10 bill." This is what's the law? Why so? But $10 for phone calls? It's a long distance call to heaven, you know. Okay. A little while later, the fellow's in Moscow, and he walks into the the Kremlin, and he goes to see the prime minister over there, and he sees there's three phones, a red phone, a white phone, a blue phone. He uses the blue phone and gets a bill for $100. So $100 is a very long distance phone call from Moscow to heaven. So, a little while later, he's in Jerusalem, and he's in the prime minister's office, and he sees three phones, a red phone, a white phone, and a blue phone. So can I use the blue phone? He says, yes. Blue phone, he uses it, gives a 25 cents local call. So that's the, you know, Eretz is, the concept of Golus is because Eretz is a local call. The Russian says, I don't want you to have a local call. I want there to be a distance. I want you to feel the gap. I once heard there was a Yidden Muncie named Rabbi Tzvi Travis. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, the Pasuk says, Mashkech min achalonos v'tzitz min acharakim. Baruch Hashem is Mashkech min achalonos. He's meitzitz, he peeks through the cracks. So he's Mashkech min achalonos, he's watching over through the window. He's peeking through the cracks. So what does that mean? It says, child goes out to play in the front yard. And there's a big picture window, you know. And the father says, you know, I can't come out to watch you, but don't worry, I'm watching over you. So the kid's playing outside, having a good time. And then he gets nervous, like, you know, he's all by himself outside, you know. Looks up and he sees in the window. His father's standing there by the window. Does he feel safe? Weeks pass by. One day the kid does something really terrible. The father says, I'm sorry, son, I have to send you outside the house. You can't be in the house right now. You have to go outside. So he goes out, he's on the front lawn, he's all by himself. He's very scared. Now, the father's not going to let anything happen to his child. But part of the punishment is to understand that, you know, so father closes the shades, and he leaves a little crack. He looks through the crack. So what's in between the two? He says, in the first scenario, when the child gets scared, he looks up and he sees his father watching over him. The second scenario, he doesn't see that. So the feeling of security is not there. But the safety is still there, because either way, the father's watching over the child. So that's Mashkech Menachalanois, Metitzim Menacharakim. So, the state of Golus is the state of Metitzim Menacharakim. It's not that we don't have the relationship, not the Russian not watching over us, but the distance, it's not as obvious to us. We don't feel that feeling of safety and security is not there. But the reality is that it is true. So that's the marshal on that point. So the first point that Novi is starting out with already is it's in some way minimizing, I mean, not minimizing the Beira, the Beira were bad, but that the damage to the relationship, it wasn't a totally damaged relationship. The relationship is maintained specifically by using the marshal of Anita. Okay. The first point. Okay, I'm not going to do this morale right now. Okay, let's skip to... page 154 in the middle. There's a mitzvah okay. So the Haftarah Parshas Parah is Yirat L'chamayim Torah M'tartem M'kol T'musicha M'kol T'arizchem. So we read the Parshas Parah is about the Poraduma, Tumas Meis, removing Tumas Meis. That's the Pesukim referring to. We have a Satara, like, what's the connection? The connection is the Pasuk of Zrat Lechemayim Tahara Matartet. So there's going to be a process of Zrikas Mayim and Tahara, just like you have by the Poraduma, there was Zrikas Mayim and Tahara. So here we see this sort of flow from the tuma of the metaphysical tuma of that the Torah talks about, describes the different types of sources of tumah. that you contract this tumor through different sources, and the flow of that, the tumor of Averis. The Torah uses the language for both of them. Okay, so what's the pshat? Minyan tumas meis. Kigufa adam who clean nifla v'taklitzu l'kadosh b'ri shem shemayim b'chol inyanav. The purpose of the goof of the person is it's a vehicle to generate kedusha in the world. The body no longer has the ability to do kiddush Hashem. That's what happens when a person dies. But feel a goof shall tzaddik. So something which exists in this world, which is not a vehicle for kedusha, the opposite of kedusha is tumah. So the body, by the fact that it's been emptied of its opportunity to be a vehicle for kedusha Hashem, now becomes a state of tumah. That is what tumah is. So a mace represents in some way the paradigmatic example of that reality of it's functionless in the purpose of the Bria. The purpose of the Bria is Kedusha, and this is the opposite. Chen kufa adam hameis hu tamei mitamei l'chol ha-shayiga b'y maga kol shahu filio es tachas gag echad ima mitamei. Okay, step number one. So Hirsch says, when he talks about the Div Tumas Meis, he said that the reality is that the human being it lives forever. The neshama is immortal. That's what life is about. And based on the vantage point of Netzach is how you're supposed to make your decisions, etc. The dramatic impact that Misa makes on a person causes him to be confused about the purpose of life. Well, it ends. Like, people, when faced with Misa in front of them, if they're thinking people, it can be very challenging, philosophically, etc. So, from a person's rational point of view, he says, the interface with Misa, with a mace, dampens his understanding of what a human being is about. So that's why the idea of tumah transfers from the mace into the one who has an interface with the mace. That's why Kayan is supposed to be the teacher of Klal Yisrael, the teachers of Klal Yisrael. They're specifically precluded from the concept of interfacing with Misa, because we're not a religion which the priest has a role in the world of Misa. I don't know, but the purpose of the priest is to teach us how to live, and not from the vantage point of death, but the vantage point of immortality. That's his approach. Okay, whether we have that, it works metaphysically, it works rationally, it works both. All right, but there's an element of that's what happens by tumah. Okay. Now, what is Chil Hashem? So the Zohar says that the word chilul is related to the word chalal. Chalal is a void. When you take something and you void it out, it's chalul. It's an empty. So chalulim, chalulim. We have these empty. You have the pipes in the body. They're called chalulim because they're just the pipe is outside and inside it's hollow. So hollowing something out is chilul. The purpose of the Bria is that everything should be a source of recognizing the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Kedusha. At any moment when the Bria functions as if the Rosh Hashanah has been removed from there, is Chil Hashem. You've hollowed out, you've voided the Kadosh Baruch Hu from that place. Well, that's Tumah. Because the whole Yisrael Tumah is that something which was supposed to be a vehicle of Kedusha became emptied out of that purpose. So the role, the flow from Chilul Hashem to Tumah is very obvious. Once you define Tumah, is the whole Yisrael Tumah is the moment when the function of this for Kedusha has been removed from it, is Tuma. So Tuma and Chil Hashem are two sides of the same coin. Okay. Now, how do you create Chil Hashem? I'm not giving you a lesson on how to do Chil Hashem. Right? Most people are pretty good at it without me. But there's a fascinating, there's the Nefesh HaChaim. So Nefesh HaChaim has four Sha'orim in it, and then between the third Sha'or and the fourth Sha'or, if I call correctly, he has something which he calls Parakim. There's a few Parakim which are not connected to any one of the Sha'orim. In the language of the Rishonim, the same we have Baba, like Baba Bas, or Baba, like, Baba is an Aramaic for a Sha'or. It means a section. You know, so there's in there he says a fascinating point. He says that if you look at all of the different midas rows, which meter raw is the most primary source of tumah? He says it's gaiva. He says if you compare what in the world of tumah, there are always the tumah are primary sources of tumah. It means they have ability to be metam or something else. You have many different avos atuma. You have an avelus and avatuma. You have a zavos and avatuma, etc. There's only one avi avos atuma. That's a mace. Mm-hmm. Means a mace. Not only is it mitam something else, it makes something else tome to the point that other thing becomes a source of tuma. It's called an avi avos atuma. So, if a person touches a mace, he doesn't become a rishon. He becomes an avatuma. He himself becomes a source of tuma. So he says, if you want to look at the midas, what's the avi avos atuma of midas? He says, gaiva. Gaiva is the midas, is the avi avos of all tuma. So very simply, I one time said, it says, stop for a second. So what, have a midah raw of, well, of jealousy. I'm jealous. I desire. There's always that word I in all the, in all these, everything. There's always that word I in all this cover, that's the gaiva part. Right? The gaiva is when the person's focus is on himself. Self-aggrandizement. Why I should get what I want. I think I deserve it. I think I, you know, etc. So the focus is me. Now, we tend to do that. Let me point out to you, when most people daydream about themselves. Right? So that is the natural state of, you know, being of how a person starts. And the process of maturity is to develop a focus that it's not about me, it's about other people, etc. And not take myself out of this egocentric view of the world and make it an other-centric view of the world. All right, so that's the process we want to accomplish. So it comes out that within myself, the version really exists within me. Whenever my focus is myself, there's an element of Chil Hashem. Because instead of the focus being a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which really is what really is the reality of what I am, a vehicle to bring Kedusha for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the moment I make it about me, I void a Kadosh Baruch Hu a little bit. So the Navi specifically says, Lo Lamanchem, like multiple times over here, when we're going to bring the world of the Tahara of the future, if you say things like, yeah, we got it because we deserve it, that itself undermines what we were trying to accomplish. The version says, I created the world because I'm a mitzvah and I have what to give, and I want you to focus on how you're going to bring that the world to its fruition, so that the purpose of its, that's your, from your vantage point, the world's here to become coming to Kadosh Baruch Hu. From my vantage point, it's to be mitzvah to you. Those two things are the same thing. The way you're going to get the greatest hatava is when the world brings kavod to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But your focus has to be to bring kavod to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So the Rosh, whatever the Rosh, the last mission of is, it says whatever the Rosh made is what he made the chvoid, right? And he brings the pasuk in Yeshaya that the chvoid barosiv yitzarta b'avasis. Everything the Rosh made, he made the chvoid. For my kavod, barosiv yitzarta. Everything I've done for my kavod. That's how we're supposed to look at the world. So we can't be thinking about what it's lamani. We have to think about it's about it's lamano. Wow. The goal of the world is to come to the tikkun of chet adam rishon. What was adam rishon's mistake? So, so adam rishon came up with this fascinating idea, right? In Gan Eden, he basically functions. There was such a clarity of understanding. He didn't have the type of hair that we have. So he said, you know, isn't it greater Kavod Shamayim if it's not so easy to say Kadosh Baruch, and I still choose a Kadosh Baruch, there's a greater Kavod Shamayim. Right? So he had a Kavana Taiva in his chait. By eating Beit Hadas, he's going to create a world where it's not obvious, it's not clear, and he's going to obviously he's still going to choose the Kodesh Baruch, because that's from his vantage point, he couldn't dream not choosing the right way, and that's a greater Kavod Shamayim, which that's the purpose of the Bria. So what was the mistake? So like this, he said, Mitzad Hasheni, the last page of here. Here Adam Rishon, she's talking Kiddush Hashem, Madrega Harba Yersi Nichbod Hamena. There's another opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, which is even greater. Who need Madrega Gavoya Kiddusha? Who's the Maganadin Belishum Maga Imara? He's not interfacing with the Ra. Vadarabim call Isuyum Afsharm Litoy, but everything which is supporting him to do good. Actually, Malachim Hasham Shemesh, because I'll say that the Malachim service were his servants. So the person is giving a tremendous amount of siyata d'shmaya to do their avoda, right? And his part is very little. So he says, if he'll sort of like fill in a little bit of the ra into himself. So that's what the Yitzhar came to offer him. So what was the mistake? But there was a mash over the ani over here, because you're deciding how to do it. So the Barsham specifically says, "Lo asid lovi, you're going to be tzon adam, like sheep. They're lemmings, you know." Right? Instead, the Barsham says that the final goal is that you're going to be tzon adam. You're going to be Adam Rishon before the chait. That's the final goal. The final goal is that the ani is b'chlal not the focus of who you are. So the Rosh stresses that if you're sitting there thinking about that, the point is you're going to get it because you deserve it, that's a very dangerous thought process. You're going to get it because I'm meitiv to you. We're about to get Eden. The Rosh was the meitiv, and he gives, and we're getting it. How's the Rosh going to make it work that we deserve what we're getting? That's on his side of the conversation. That's right. In one place it says, you know, people have to make sure they always stay on the right side of the conversation. Mm-hmm. For example, the halacha is that the loiva rosh of Eliyahu Shalom borrowing money, not paying back, you consider a rosh, but he has to pay back. Some person say halacha lemaisa, that a person not allowed to take a loan if he has no vision how to pay it back. The malva. There's a law, if the lawyer is not able to pay, the malva cannot pressure him to the point that if when the lawyer sees the malva, the lawyer is going to feel that there's an element of pressure, the malva should try and stay away from the lawyer. So he says, as long as the malva is thinking about his responsibilities to the lawyer, the lawyer is going to think about his responsibilities to the malva, we have a great world. The problem is the malva is thinking about the lawyer's responsibilities. Hey, gotta pay back. The lawyer's thinking about, don't chapter me. You know, the lawyer says, we got a problem. He says, the husband has a chiyuv to take care of his wife, a machaber, etc. The wife has a chiyuv to, right? As long as the husband's thinking about his responsibilities to the wife, And the wife thinks about her responsibility to the husband, we have a great marriage. The problem is, on one day, the husband starts saying, you know, I hate talking, you're not giving me what you deserve, what I deserve. Right. He's worried about her job. That's when the marriage starts to deteriorate. You know? So, yes, the Baruch Hashem has a rule which his job is to be made, and how to and give us the greatest atonement because we deserve it, etc. That's beautiful. Our job is to say, it's not about me. So we start working with that. The person give me, I deserve it. I feel better. I really deserve it. I want to deserve it. You know, like, you know, we're worrying about Kadosh Baruch Hu's job. There's nothing of you. Stop it. You want the final tahara, the leiv chadash, the remove the leiv evan and the ruach chadasha. It's if you recognize that it's not about you. It's about kavod shemayim. Well, the man chaman yosef kim l'shmi hamachula bagoyim. There's a situation of Chil Hashem which needs to be corrected. The Russian says, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to create a world where there's Kavod Hashem. And your job is to say, Baruch Hashem, now there's Kavod Hashem. But if your focus is that, so look at the first Baruch Hashem Esrei. It says, it's almost a theorem. The Kelagot Yuman, Kelagot, right? Zarecha Chastei Avos. So he remembers the chesed of the Ovis. Okay, so what would the next step be? And therefore, he's a maybe girl live name Nehem because of the Ovis. No, Laman Shmo, because of his name. Be Ahava. And there's tremendous Ahava in that thought. Why is Laman Shmo Ba'ahava? Laman Shmo would be Ba'ahava. He said, Barsham loves Klaisa so much, he loves Avraham of Yechda so much, he's willing to bring the Goyal because he remembers Zerch HaKas the Ovis. Because of the Shmoy of the Ovis, Maman Shmom, be Ahava, Gevaldik. Right? But that's not what it says. It says, Maman Shmo. Right? So, I gave my wife a warm welcome to Aruch HaShulchan. On page 151, we need to ask a question. So he says, "Mashem Zerach Hasteivos Mavigoel Pirsha Torah Halchi Pirusha Shaafim Tamus Kusavus Yevi Agulu Deman Shmoy Yisborach." That's how he answers the kasha. The Torah answers the kasha because it's like two thoughts. And there's a Zerach HaChasteyavos, and maybe the Gula will come because of them. And if not, Laman Shmo B'Ahava. Okay. Very nearly, Masharim Laman Shmo B'Ahava. Al Pima Liisa B'Medrash Rus. Kozvech Ramer Laman Chem Laman Chem and Yosef. Versus the wing for Klai Yisrael. Kozvech Ramer Laman Yi Laman Yisrael. I'm doing it because of me, not because of you. Kam is on Shisolos and Yusen Shemokim. You Laman Nom. Which means we're not doing right, and therefore we're not going to get it because of our schools. But we have to understand that that's an expression of Trinus Abba on the Kodesh Baruch Hu's part. So the pasuk is saying that, and what I'm saying. What I want to add a kenetz right now is the person saying that the Ovis set up a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that allows the world to come to its fruition. The purpose of the world's fruition is the Man Shmo. Avram created a world where he saw Kodesh Baruch Hu and he recognized that the purpose of the Bria is to come to serve Kodesh Baruch Hu. My focus on thinking about Avraham has to be what Avram taught me, that life is about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If my relationship to, you know, a simple mashal, a person has a father or grandfather's tremendous tamachach, right? So there's two ways to relate to that fact. One is that the grandfather will be a role model for the grandchild, and he learns from the way the grandfather acts. And the other one is that the kid thinks he can get away whatever he wants because his grandfather is such a big tzaddik, everybody's going to give whatever he wants. Right? So we have the there's something called schus avos. since my grandfather's Avraham and he's such a big tzaddik, I can get whatever I want. That's what Skuzovus means. Skuzovus means that the lesson that Rav Amina taught me is it's Laman Shmo. It's not about hitting. Right, so if I end up the paragraph, that the point of the paragraph is okay, the person is Zarchah Kastayovus, and he's maybe going to leave name and Nahem because of the office. So that's true. And the Russian, and that's why he's doing it. But that's not the lesson I need. That's not going to give me the schus that I need. The schus office is, that's right, it's another place, it's from the same word as zakus. It's the purity of the office. The way we touch into the schus office is we touch it to the purity of the office. The purity of the office, they taught us about Laman Shmo, that the world is about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, but this relationship which we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Av. The Barsham is giving it because he cares about it so much, he'll do it for his. I have to hear the Barsham's Av on that. Avraham Avinu saw a world which is about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he didn't see that the Barsham is being selfish, just care about himself. He saw that the world is about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how we as human beings are able to play our role to be connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a tremendous Ava on the Kadosh Baruch Hu's part to allow us to do that. So that's what I'm going to suggest, maybe along the, you know, taking the idea of the Aruch HaShulchan maybe a step further. That's what we're stressing. In Laman Shmo is still Ba'ava. But not, it's still Ba'ava. The whole idea of Laman Shmo is the greatest Ava. So maybe just, you know, a crude marshal to that point, right? It's not perfect marshal, okay, but right. Imagine you have a tremendous, tremendous call, tremendous samachachim, and he knows a young man who needs a little bit of chizuk, etc. He wants to draw him in. Obviously, the young man is a little bit hesitant vis-a-vis him because of the distance and the godless, etc. So he creates needs, things that he needs, and he asks the young man to do errands, etc., to allow the young man to become comfortable and connect to him. Right. So the young man is doing is living in a relationship which this Adam Gadol has needs. And he's living in a world where he's taking care of the needs of the Adam Gadol. Right? But the reality is that's not the reality. That the Adam Gadol made these needs to allow the young man to have a kesher with him and feel the warmth of that relationship. So that's the Man Shmo. We live in a world where it's about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's on our end. But that's the biggest chesed of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to allow us to have the relationship with him, to allow us to live in a world where we can give to him something. Okay. Thought.